WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth, Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we return myself, Peter Brown.
Yes.
Peter L. Brown, who will be my co-host.
Yes.
And also our sponsor of Monday Night Talk. We thank you. We thank Tiny and Sons Glass.
Oh, thank you.
For being a fantastic sponsor, one of many sponsors. But we get to have you in on a regular basis. You participate.
Got to get my voice out there. Got to get my opinions heard. So
I saw some pictures of you over the weekend.
Yes.
Look very dapper.
Thank you.
Now, what was, just quickly, what was all that I saw? I saw some stuff that looked very...
Oh, it was Friday was the Plymouth Chamber of Commerce luncheon. So that was we named our Business of the Year and our Ambassador of the Year. And I'm Vice Chair this year for the Chamber, so I had to get a little bit snazzied up.
So you were.
Dug out one of my ties and got some pictures, and it was good.
Sharp guy.
Yeah.
Would you like to introduce our first guest?
Yes. So, Alex, welcome. Alex Bezanson is running for state rep, and you're from Abington?
I am.
Awesome.
And, of course, that district?
That district is from...
The?
Jeff Deal.
7th Plymouth District.
Yes.
Of course, it's...
Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater.
It's a great... Part of East, I believe it's three precincts in East Bridgewater.
Great district.
Three of the four, yes.
If the internet is telling me the truth.
I think it's
yes.
On the internet. It's got to be true.
I think Ballotpedia or something like that. That's where we got the information. But I guess first question for those who don't know, I know we introduced you as an Abington first term Abington selectman, but that's the only government board, or that's not the only thing in town that you have done is being a selectman, right?
No, I started several years ago in Abington in the early 1990s. I was appointed to the Abington Conservation Commission. I spent 22 years on that board, 15 as chairman. And in 2015, I was elected to the Abington Board of Selectmen. I also served on open space and some other committees along the way. And then last Tuesday night, I formally announced that I'm a candidate for the 7th Plymouth District.
I was having a spirited conversation with someone earlier today, where I believe it's different in Abington because it's a three board, it's three members of the Board of Selectmen, right?
Five.
It is five.
We have
That's
five.
What I thought. Maybe I'm thinking because there were three candidates running in the race. That's where I get confusion. You're five members, but you're only one voice.
Right.
And I was having a discussion with someone because there are some races that are coming up for... town boards on the South Shore, and the conversation was, why would you want to be on the Board of Selectmen? Why do you want to be on a board if you can't get anything done, you can't make your mark, you're not getting paid? Well, you've been doing it for more than 20 years. Why do you do it?
Well, because I think it's important for everyone to give back to their community a little bit, and I have accomplished some things on the Board of Selectmen in my short time on there. I formed the Abington Substance Abuse Coalition. That was one thing we did right after I was elected. I realized I found out how bad the drug problem was, and I formed that group, and it's now a 501c3 nonprofit. We bring in speakers to the school, helping with early education. And that's one thing I want to continue on Beacon Hill, is more education for our students and young athletes, especially, because that's where a lot of the problems starting with painkillers, with athletes getting hurt at a young age.
Pete, do you have a question?
Now, you're Abington, and the district also includes Whitman, correct?
Yes.
So the Route 18 with the Weymouth, with the all the development that's going on in the Weymouth-Abington area, what about the infrastructure? How is that going to be affected?
Well, there's a bid out now to expand Route 18 from the Navy base down to Route 139 in Abington only at this point. And that's been in the works for many, many, many years. So I would suspect that to go further, and we really need to go further, we need to go all the way down through Whitman.
Right.
But I would suspect it's going to be many, many, many more years before that happens.
Because of all the new homes and the new construction that's going on, especially on the border between Weymouth and Abington, there's a lot of traffic in that area.
There is. And there's a lot of development that's going to happen now in Abington.
Build up from the Weymouth NIF, well, Union Point.
Well,
Union
that Point, and Abington was in negotiations with Brockton for more sewer. We reached our sewer capacity of 1 million gallons, so there could be no more building. And those negotiations had stalled after about 5 years, so I had reached out to Mayor Bill Carpenter and Congressman Lynch's office, and we got it resolved. And it was just about 2 weeks ago that the agreement was finalized, which gives Abington an additional 500,000 gallons of sewer, which means all these projects that have been on hold for a long, long time can now go forward. On one hand, it's going to be great for Abington because we're going to get the tax revenue, but the traffic is going to increase also.
Right.
So I think the state is going to have to look at expanding, at least continue down Route 18, at least into Whitman. At this point, you know, I know they can't do it all at once, but it's just something that definitely is on my radar and has to be done.
Why have you decided to run for state rep, and why so early?
Well, I think if you're going to, why so early? I think if you're going to do something, you put 110% in it. And I think I'm planning on running in 2018 against Jeff Deal. And I think you start early and start getting your message out. There is rumors that he might get a position, but that's not...
position what? Within the Trump administration?
Yes. Okay. And I'm not sure if that's going to happen. So I'm focused on 2018, November of 2018. And I think it takes a good year and a half or so to get out there and meet the people and explain to them what I've been able to do as a selectman in Abington and what I think I can do on Beacon Hill.
Now, this race runs kind of concurrent with your re-election in Abington, correct? When are you
I would be up for re-election
next
in
spring.
April of 2018.
Okay. Would you run two simultaneous races or no?
No, I will not. Okay. I will not run for re-election if I'm running in November of 2018.
And you are, I think, if... You had a kickoff last Tuesday.
All right.
Polish Club, how'd that go?
Went very well. Very well attended. I've got a lot of endorsements, a lot of support already, starting to raise some money. We've got some momentum. I'm encouraged.
Okay. Peter, did you have a follow-up question?
What could you do differently than Jeff's been doing lately for the, if you get elected?
Than the incumbent?
Than the incumbent could do.
Well, I think my record has shown that I'm someone that can get things done.
Okay.
As a selectman with the sewer issue. We're working hard now to resolve some issues with our police department and the Abington Substance Abuse Coalition. I'm definitely in favor of public schools and not privately managed for-profit charter schools. And I know Jeff and I differ on that. I think I can be a more effective state rep than Jeff. Jeff seems to have some issues on both sides of the aisles trying to get things through. And a good example of that was when Abington voted several years ago for a DPW at town meeting, and that's a charter change, so it has to go to the legislation. It sat there for quite a while. And finally, I reached out to some of the area state reps and Senator John Keenan, Josh Cutler, Michelle Dubois, Tom Calter, Jim Cantwell, and it got through. You know, Jeff is a very nice guy, but I think he's having difficulties on Beacon Hill getting things done.
What do you think of some of the issues in the race? What will be, is it a matter of waiting for them to develop, or are they the same issues that we hear about every 2 years when everyone, we gather people into this building to talk about it?
Everyone says more local aid, and that's true. We need more like local aid.
Local aid is vast. I mean, you talk of Chapter 90, Chapter 70.
Well, Chapter 70 is a good point. I know for years people have said they want to review Chapter 70, but I don't know if much has been done about that. I definitely want to look into that. I don't know if Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater are getting their fair share, but it's certainly something that I want to look into. Whitman obviously is a regional school, so it's a little different there. But it's definitely something I'd like to look into. And like I said earlier, I'm not in favor of for-profit charter schools at all. I think that's hurting the schools.
What are some of the alternatives? From my understanding, charter schools are an alternative to failing districts if a district is having issues.
Fix the district.
It's something you talk to the state. You talk about the, secondary education, primary.
So I'm just not in favor of just giving up on a failing district and say, okay, let's build charter schools.
All right, so what would you do? What are some
of
the things?
I don't know. We need to look into that and find out what the issues are and then try and resolve the issues. But you can't just throw away a public school and build a charter school for an elite few and forget about all the other students. If there's issues there, we have to figure out what those issues are and figure out a way to resolve those issues. And always throwing money at it isn't always the case either.
Well, when you look at the city of Brockton, maybe this is to your point, have you followed the issue where the state actually put a charter school in Brockton, even though it's not having issues with, its students being able to get proper grades and being able to maintain, averages?
Yes, they put a for-profit charter school in Brockton this year.
Right.
And look at all the problems they had trying to open. They ended up going to Norwood because they couldn't even handle building permits correctly. And they're running a charter school.
What do you feel are the needs of the 7th Plymouth District? Are they the same, or do you feel, or have you not yet had a chance to speak with some of the folks elected in those communities? Is that a conversation you're about to have?
I'm just getting out and learning some things. I've been meeting with some people, but I'm open to ideas, what they're looking for. I know, every town is looking for more money. And there are programs out there, I'm sure, that, you might be able to get a grant for a historical thing or a park or something. I mean, that's what we need to look at. I'm already working, trying to get a grant right now from the Attorney General's office that would benefit all three towns, Abington, Whitman, and East Bridgewater. Brockton just got a grant for a high school student education for opioid and life coaching. So I've reached out to the Attorney General trying to get the same grant for the three towns. I think the drug issue, that's not the only issue, but it's a huge issue in all three towns. And that costs the town money with police and fire and other things. So, if we can start to resolve that resolves a lot of other issues. I know the Abington Police Department is swamped because of the way Abington is situated with the crossroads from Brockton and
Weymouth
and everything. It's we do probably more police and fire calls than any town around, and a lot of it's drug related. So, we're not wasting our resources, but, you know, maybe if we can curb this issue, then we could free up our offices to do other things.
How do you feel your time on various boards, including your current one, Board of Selectmen, have conditioned you to be a state representative? How do you feel that it's kind of prepared you to go up on Beacon Hill and be able to serve constituents?
Well, I think when you're in a position like this, you don't have all the answers or know all the needs. But when you're in a position like selectmen, people come to you with issues. And, you know, that's what, you know, I'm not going to come up with all the issues that need to be resolved, but people will come to me with some of those issues. And that's what happened with the substance abuse. And that's what happened with the sewer in Abington. And that's what happened with the police. You know, we were contacted by parents of police officers. You know, we have some issues here. And a big part of Abington's issue is money. Again, you know, our officers are paid less than the surrounding town. Right. But people will come to you because you're in these positions and let you know what their concerns are. And that's how I get a lot of my information.
Has Abington signed a community compact with this current administration? Do you know
yes.
if they have?
Yes, we have.
What are you guys eligible to get? It's just kind of, it's a side question.
I'm not sure. I wasn't part of that, and I wasn't even in town the day that was signed.
Okay. Just curious. Anything that we haven't touched upon but it's kind of vital? Again, I'm sure we're going to see you many times over the next 2 years.
I'm sure you will, Kevin.
Talking about what you're up to, maybe if you're talking about, you know, the Bruins finally retiring Rick Middleton's jersey. I mean, stuff like that, you know. anything we haven't touched upon but you want to take a moment just to kind of share with folks in regards to your kickoff to run for state?
Well, I can be found on Facebook. My personal page is Alex Bazantin, and there is a page for Alex Bazantin Selectman and a page for Alex Bazantin for State Rep. So anyone out there that wants to reach out to me, that's the best way to do it. We do have a website that may be just about ready to launch.
Okay.
So we'll be putting other ideas on that. And you know, that's why I say you need to get out early. It's a learning process over the next 18 months. And I think I'm up for the job, and I think I'll...
You'll do well.
I think I'll get some support.
You'll do well, and you know enough people. And it should be interesting, whether it's an early runoff, depending on what happens with the current state representative, or if it's something that, you know, you're duking it out for the primary for your party's nod, or straight on to November where you're taking on the incumbent.
We'll see.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Before you go, this is your chance to give us your thoughts on the Super Bowl. Who's going to win, and what's the score going to be? MVP, and how awkward will the trophy handoff be if it's the Patriots? Not
well,
necessarily in that order.
I think it'll definitely be awkward, and it's the best revenge for Tom Brady, obviously. I do think it'll be the Patriots, but I do think it'll be close. It could be a field goal. And they've had several Super Bowls that were decided by a field goal.
I believe that all six have been pretty much decided by 4 points or less.
Yeah. So I'm going with the Patriots by 3. And I can't wait to see Roger Goodell hand Tom Brady the trophy.
We want to thank you very much for coming in and joining us, sharing the news of your candidacy for state rep. We want to thank Lisa for stopping by. Make sure you say hello to Mikey.
Mikey's out in the car.
One of my favorite pets. and we'll definitely be talking soon.
Thank you very much.
Here is Alex Bazantin. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit with our D.C. correspondent. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Monday Night Talk.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.
McGuigan's Pub in downtown Whitman is a great place to unwind any night of the week. Stop in for Singo on Monday night. There's the always popular Irish Sessions every Tuesday night, half-price pizza every Wednesday night, and Friday and Saturday nights feature the best in live entertainment. Catch your favorite game on McGuigan's 8 big flat screens and enjoy a pint at their beautiful 54-foot mahogany bar. Whether you're a regular or coming in for the first time, you're always a friend of McGuigan's Pub, 546 Washington Street, Whitman Center.
Welcome Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome back to Monday Night Talk. The last one of January 2017.
I didn't even realize what day it was.
You didn't?
No.
Okay.
It's this month. It's just gone by a blurry.
Blink of an eye. I swear it should still be September 2016, but it's just...
Kevin, it's like Groundhog Day every day since the inauguration. It's unbelievable. Sorry.
Is that your precursor to our next segment? Is that your lead-in?
That's my lead-in, yes.
Okay.
I can't wait to hear.
All right. Well, you know,
Is Washington, D.C. still there?
It is, yes.
Oh, good. Okay, good.
No one has pushed a button yet, Peter.
Oh, good. All right.
Actually, I actually could have our D.C. correspondent be the one who confirms or denies whether this is happening.
I can't wait for the movie.
Well, I'm going to say this much. I tried to watch Celebrity Apprentice, the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
With Arnold.
Yeah.
It's not happening.
No.
It's not working. Anyways, joining us on the phone line.
It's like pump you up.
Is a gentleman who is joining us. He is someone who works for WMAL down in Washington, D.C. And he's one of our very own, formerly from 95.9 WATD, Mr. Steve Burns. Mr. Burns, how are you?
Hey, good evening, guys. How are you?
Hi, Steve.
We're doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Last time I walked out my front door, I believe D.C. was still there. I haven't been outside in a couple hours, though, so I can't tell you for sure.
Thank you.
A couple of personal questions. How is Brittany and Sebastian?
They're both good. We actually, believe it or not, have a loose bobcat from the National Zoo out today, so I can't speak to Sebastian's well-being. But Brittany's doing okay.
Nice.
Very cool. Very cool. Tell her to keep up good work with her YouTube videos.
Will do. Appreciate it.
And the ukulele. Very successful. She'll be our next YouTube breakout star, I predict. I'm making that prediction right now.
I'll let her know.
But Steve was a very vital part of our newsroom a couple of years ago and found his way down to D.C. and does a lot of coverage down there. And I pay attention to some of the stuff that's in my newsfeed, some of the stuff that he's working on. So I thought it would be interesting to have somebody who's on the ground down there who's had a chance to see, it firsthand, whether it's the inauguration, whether it's some of the protests, barrel fires, people chanting, you name it. I thought I would get it firsthand from a guy who probably was either walking by this or out there covering it or reporting on it. Sound about right?
All of the above.
All of the above. So what has it been? The first, here we are, we're going into the second week of this administration. What's it been like?
It's been kind of an air of uncertainty. Nobody's really sure what's going to happen from day to day here. D.C. kind of thrives on having a set routine and knowing what to expect, and you've kind of had that rug taken out from right under you with the Trump administration. It's been certainly exciting if you're a reporter because it's something new every day. It's something unexpected, and you're constantly learning. I can say that much.
Now, did you have a chance to either report on or be somewhere in the mix during the inauguration?
I was at the inauguration. I was at the Women's March the next day. I didn't know my feet could hurt as much as they did after those 2 days. It was an experience. Yeah, I was at both of them. The inauguration, I started early that day. My shift started at about 6 in the morning. So I was there as people started lining up. You had to go through a security checkpoint to get onto the National Mall.
Okay.
And the big plan from protesters was to block those security checkpoints. So I was there for the genesis of those protesters getting together, figuring out their plan. What eventually ended up happening was police started using pepper spray to get them to unlink arms and open up a pathway. That basically turned out to be unsuccessful because the protesters, after an hour or so, outnumbered police. So they pretty much decided to let the protesters stay there. They directed people that wanted to get to the inauguration to other security checkpoints. So things were not off to a smooth start from a security viewpoint that day.
So did you take a little, lot of pictures of the mall to see how many people were there?
I didn't actually get to the mall. I made it as far as Pennsylvania Avenue before the president started speaking. But I can tell you the closest thing we have to people measuring here is how many people use the subway system, the metro system, which I know, Kevin, you're intimately familiar with.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I had a chance to spend a couple of days down hanging out with D.C.'s own Steve Burns to kind of get an idea of how they travel down there. And it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a nice-looking subway system. It just hasn't been maintained all that well. So there are frequent breakdowns and everything. But by all accounts, they actually did pretty well on Inauguration Day. The final number of people who rode on Inauguration Day was about 571,000. So that's, if you account for round trips, you can pretty much cut that number in half to see how many people actually went down to the mall and used Metro to get to the inauguration.
Ah, now, this gives me an opportunity because it was something that you and I got to experience together, and that is when a train breaks down and it takes them 20 minutes for everybody to get out of the train.
Yes.
Did that happen?
No, actually, the reviews, this was somewhat of a positive note to come out of the weekend. All reviews of Metro were pretty positive. Everyone said it ran as it should have. Trains were frequent. There were very few breakdowns. I think it was Metro's real first big test in recent days, and it actually did pretty well. So I think things have actually improved. You should come back down and try it again, Kevin.
Well, you and I have a date to do. You were kind enough to take me to a Nats game.
Yes.
And we have said...
Which, by the way, I was surprised to find out was your first non-Fenway baseball experience, which was just... That blew my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's okay. You and I got to enjoy the experience together.
That's true. Yeah, and we got a seat with your name on it at Camden Yards next time you're in this area.
A true bromance is blooming right before you, folks. getting back to the inauguration, what was your sense, aside from the protests that were taking place, what were you getting from the folks that did want to go there and kind of witness, you know, the 45th president being sworn in?
There was a lot of that sentiment there of people that were there to witness history, regardless of which side of the political aisle they were on. This is a very historic moment, regardless of who's getting sworn in, regardless of the extenuating circumstances of it. It's a historic moment. It's sort of a bastion of American democracy to see this happen in front of you. And you could sort of get that sense that there were a lot of people there, not necessarily there to protest or there to support Donald Trump, but they were there just to be a part of another part of the historic democratic process. That was definitely a big part of it. At most of the security checkpoints outside the one I was at, the protesters and the supporters sort of intermingled peacefully. The protesters stayed in line and wanted to make their voices heard once they got onto the mall. They weren't actively trying to barricade things.
Now, did you have a chance to kind of gauge the size of the crowd and even have conversations with your colleagues down at WMAL to kind of get an idea as to the size? Because that's kind of, I guess, a sticking point, or it was a sticking point the first 24 to 48 hours as to the size of the crowds compared to past inaugurations, especially with the inauguration of the re-swearing in of the 44th president, Barack Obama.
Yes, and again, the closest measurement we have for people numbers, and I should mention, National Park Service, which owns the National Mall, does not do an estimation of how many people are at a certain event because they've gotten so much blowback from it in the past. They just said, "We'll just stop doing it because we're tired of hearing all this criticism." So again, what we have is Metro numbers, and we had that 571,000 for this past inauguration. We had 782,000 in 2013, and we had 1.1 million in 2009. So those are the numbers for you. The 1.1 million was their busiest day of all time on Metro back in for Barack Obama's first inauguration. And interestingly, their second busiest day turned out to be the day after this past inauguration for the Women's March.
Very interesting. That is very interesting. How did that, now how would you guesstimate how the march went? And what were some of the intriguing things that you saw? Things, whether they were signs that were on point or signs that you looked and you go, really?
Yeah. Yeah, there were a lot of those moments.
Okay.
There were a lot of homemade signs. You could tell people actually put a lot of thought into these, some more family-friendly than others, as I'm sure you can imagine. But it was definitely an eclectic scene. I guess that's the best word for it. It was an eclectic scene with a lot of different types of people, different ages, backgrounds, reasons for being there. The most common phrase I heard at the Women's March was, "I've never protested anything before in my life."
Hmm.
So these are people that were persuaded to come out and have seen things they consider to be egregious, more egregious than they've seen in their life. So the Women's March was definitely an interesting experience. I got there again very early, about 6 a.m. I sat down, opened my laptop to file some stories, and an hour later, the next time I looked up from my laptop, the people had filled in all around me on all sides. I had no room to move, and my cell service was gone. And as a reporter, I'm sure you're aware that you can't really do your job if you don't have cell service.
Right.
So it was then my mission to move to a less populated area, and that didn't go so well. It took me about an hour to wade across the street. Like, say you're on the red line, you're on the T at rush hour, and you need to move from one end of the car to the other. That was basically my situation, and it did not go well. There were some women that were mad at me that I was getting in their way, but I had to do a job. I was wading across the street. Finally, I got to a less populated area and was able to file again. But that just is anecdotal evidence of how absolutely jam-packed it was. You could tell that there were maybe twice as many people there than they had planned for. It was just an unbelievable crowd.
As a reporter, how nostalgic do you get knowing that you're in the middle of historical events like an inauguration, like thousands and thousands of people showing up to, you know, express their point, whether it's dismay or looking for change? What's it been like?
That's an interesting question. I sort of don't really have the brain power to actually step back and realize the history, because I'm always looking at the clock. I'm always thinking about, oh, when's the next time I have to file a report? Sure. Who can I talk to about this? So I never really get to have the perspective of this is historic. That usually sort of hits me maybe a week or 2 weeks later when I'm looking over my work. It's definitely a privilege to be able to do this kind of a thing. But my main mindset is, how am I going to be able to tell this story?
Sure. Again, we're speaking with Steve Burns, a former anchor here at 95.9 WAT, now doing fine work down at WMAL down in D.C. And, you know, we transitioned from talking about the Women's March to the inauguration to now these executive orders. Have you had to go out and cover about the president's signing that new executive order regarding immigrants and folks that want to fly into our country?
I haven't been out to the airport myself, but I've been following the coverage of it. We have a bunch of local congressmen who went out to Dulles Airport, which is the main international arrivals airport in the D.C. area. And a lot of those congressmen were on the phone with Border Patrol officials themselves. We still had some refugees who had flown over and, by the court order that happened Saturday night, should have been let in, but Border Patrol still was not letting them in. So the big story here is a bunch of our congressmen went out to the airport themselves and started arguing on behalf of those refugees that were still stranded at the airport. So it's definitely it's a story that's permeating most metro areas, and you saw it happen at JFK. I saw the photos out of Logan Airport with Senator Warren there. This is happening all over the country.
Peter, do you have a question for Steve?
Yeah, I was with Joe Siraca from the Herald, editor-in-chief of the Herald, on Friday, and we're talking about the fake news and how Trump has been, President Trump.
Alternative news.
Excuse me, yes, exactly. Alternative news are the news is lying about his administration and his facts. And one of the things that he was talking about was he was looking forward to the future of news and journalism, because it kind of woke people up to the fact that maybe we're not reporting it correctly, and it's created a atmosphere of getting the facts out. How do you see that coming up as a journalist and the future of what you're doing?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's been sort of a makeover in how journalists have had to treat this new administration. And it started really in the campaign when there were things that we could identify as blatant lies, but you didn't want to necessarily report it as such because you might risk offending some people that didn't believe that. Like what we've been going through with the inauguration crowd sizes. We have solid numbers here from Metro that say this was definitely a more sparsely attended inauguration. And then you had the administration come out and say there were more people that watched this inauguration than any other period. So you kind of, from my perspective, all you can do is back it up with facts and find as many facts as you possibly can from a bunch of different sources. And it's kind of emboldened journalists to be more aggressive in calling out things that they see as blatant lies and not necessarily just letting it slide and giving a passive opinion as saying, well, there are two different views of how many people went to the inauguration. It's sort of given us the opportunity to be more emboldened and actually find more facts. It's definitely, I think, been a good thing for the news business to re-examine itself.
Well, I'm glad that you have all of this happening down in D.C. to keep your mind off of some of the moves that the Oakland Athletics have not made.
What moves, exactly.
During the offseason.
Yeah, I don't want to bore your listeners too much. I'm sure they're all tuning out now with the mention of the Oakland A's. Yeah, it's kind of a barren offseason. We're kind of in the wait-and-see mode for a new stadium. So I think it's just going to be pretty boring from here on out until that new stadium comes.
You know, the days of Dennis Eckersley or Vita Blue or Raleigh Fingers or Catfish Hunter, I mean, gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
Yeah, it's sad. It's real sad.
Do they have anybody to trade away at the trade deadline that the Sox could use next year?
Not that I know of. Maybe, I mean, Sonny Gray was our great pitcher, but he had a down year last year, so I don't know.
Now, who's the kid who played first base for you guys and hit a ton of home runs, but his batting average was former Sox prospect. Help me here.
First base. I'm blanking on it.
I think he just signed with the Royals, a 2-year deal.
Oh, Brandon Moss.
Yeah.
Brandon Moss. Yeah, he was getting, his back had problems. That's why we let him go. He's getting kind of up there.
Okay. All right, good that we cleared that up. Now, final question I'll ask you. Are you going to be watching the Super Bowl this Sunday?
Maybe. I don't know. I can tell you that I think you guys have an entirely different mindset from the rest of the country.
Yeah. Oh, do tell.
Well, yeah. Well, D.C. is one of those places that cares more about its own football team than any other sports team. And once the Redskins were out of it, we don't really care about the Caps too much down here, the hockey team. So yeah. It's kind of just a sports wasteland down here right now.
Well, the thing that the Skins got to worry about is keeping Kirk Cousins.
Right. That's the big question.
That's the big question.
Yeah. But at this point, I mean, good luck to your Patriots. I don't really care one way or another.
Okay. Well, I will say this. It was a good thing that when the Washington Redskins drafted Roger Griffin III, that they decided to take another quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Nobody knows that they actually drafted two quarterbacks that year. And luckily, one of the two panned out.
Oh, yeah. Well, we still follow RG3, and whatever his latest injury is over here is sort of like something we can laugh at. It's like we follow him around like he's a reality show, and we just get to laugh at him. It's great.
Steve, I want to thank you so much for joining us, and thank you for indulging us as the D.C. correspondent to Monday Night Talk, and we'll definitely look forward to checking with you on a regular basis to find out what's happening down there in D.C. and what the atmosphere is with number 45 with DJT, Donald Trump Jr. Actually, it's Donald J. Trump,
right?
Who is your 45th commander-in-chief.
Yes. Yes.
Thanks for having me, Kevin. It's always a pleasure.
Hey, you got it.
Hey, good job, Steve.
Go A's.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, there we go. Stephen Burns, we're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk, the second half, right here on 95.9 WATD.
The South Shore's breaking news, weather, and traffic station.
95.9 WATD FM Marshfield and 95.9 WATD.com. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Peter. It was always Tiny's intention to have a Tiny and Sons business.
That's true, that's true. We always worked well together. But my mom had a lot to do with it. I think she wanted us out of the house. She really needed her peace and quiet.
Five kids, you really can't blame her.
Tiny taught us how to get along and work together. And most important, Mother knows best.
Did you learn anything about windshields?
That too, but you really get used to doing a good job. You know Tiny's gonna check it out.
My boys do a good job.
My dad did a great job. 1-888-64-TINYS. Just call.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, and we want to thank Stevie Burns. Say a prayer for him and his Oakland A's, because we know they'll be trading away some of their talent to the Boston Red Sox.
No.
So come on, yeah. I'm telling you.
Yeah, we got enough bat boys.
We have big October next year.
Yeah.
I don't want to get ahead of myself here.
No.
Joining us here in studio is a young lady that I actually reached out to. I'm always looking for folks to chat with and talk about local issues, South Shore issues. I just happened to see her in my news feed that she's running.
I am.
For office.
That's right.
In the town of Hingston, in Hingham.
Right.
I'll say it right. The town of Hingham.
There you go.
Where the harbor is. Karen Johnson is our guest.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
How are you?
I'm pretty well. I know that I'm standing in between you and a lot of football talks.
Oh, yeah.
Try to make it quick.
Oh, yeah. They're already starting to assemble.
Yeah.
Be afraid.
Be very afraid. Behind me here. Yeah.
I'll be parked on the street because you're not going to be able to get out of the parking lot.
I'm just going to tailgate after anyway. So.
Atta girl.
Yeah, there we go.
Break open a brew. Let's go.
All right.
All right, you already got my vote, and I don't even live in Hingham. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. Well, I moved to Hingham in 1990, started my involvement with local government there in 2007, served on the advisory committee, which is the finance committee plus committee that looks at all the town warrant articles.
Fun stuff.
And let me tell you, 2007 and 2008 was like baptism by fire, as you guys all know, for local governments. So I worked with a lot of fine people in Hingham, as is the Hingham tradition. Dave Ellison, Jack Manning, John Asher, Joe Beerworth, Amy Farrell, Mary Jane O'Meara. Learned a lot from those folks, made a big investment of my time and energy in my heart, and became part of what I think is really a phenomenal volunteer tradition in town. Most recently, I chaired the Town Administrator Bylaw Committee. That kind of reignited my interest in town politics.
Stoked the flames.
Last but not least, we sent our youngest son off to college this fall, so I'm an empty nester and
good times right
need
there.
To stay out of trouble. So,
time to paint the house.
Paint the house, run for selectmen.
What will we turn his room into? Yeah. Man cave? No, kidding. let's talk a little bit about why are you throwing your hat in the ring to run for selectmen? What is enticing you?
What's enticing me, I think, is, as I said, I think the early investment I made in the fiscal stability of the town, it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of attention to detail, a lot of digging into the numbers to make sure that the forecast is going to work, that there's not a structural deficit in town. You know, the town government's qualitatively different, I think, from the races you were talking about earlier in your show.
Yeah, we're talking state rep.
We're, you know, just on the local level, we're talking about us, right? We're talking about books in the library. We're talking about the elder services van. We're talking about our schools and public safety. We need to be able to pay for those things in a responsible way that's not going to drive folks out of town. And that's what's driving me to run for the Board of Selectmen.
It is now, how many seats are open this time around? And when are town elections in Hingham?
So town elections are April 29th. Vote early, vote often, right? You can vote at town hall early, you can get an absentee ballot, or you can come to the polls on April 29th. Hingham, as you may know, has three selectmen, and the seats open on a rotating basis. So there's one seat up.
Right, there's an overlap, so to speak.
Yep, and there are, I know a couple other people have pulled papers. I pulled my papers and returned them, and I'm in.
Yeah, it looks like it's, now, do we know who is up? Do we know the...
So Paul Gannon it's Paul Gannon's seat, and he would be the incumbent if he chooses to run. I think there was some press recently in the Ledger. I think he's, I think he's weighing his options. He's, as you know, been involved in a number of elections of late, sure. And it takes a toll, right, on your family
and
yourself.
Sure, yeah. No, he ran for Senate, and I think there was even a run for, again, I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I get it all on my laptop over on the floor over there. He may have even run for state rep. Actually, I think he was, wasn't his name? It was for Senate, wasn't it?
Well, you know, we had a crazy time. It was crazy town actually on the South Shore.
I think was it like a Democratic caucus?
With elections. That's exactly right.
It was
right.
Democratic caucus.
That was for state Senate, though, I think.
It was for state Senate, and there was one individual that was on the ballot. It was something, oh, I know what it was. It was Joe Moschino.
Right. Right.
Was running for she was running for state Senate and then said, wait, I think I want to run for state rep. And so she ended up doing a write-in for state rep, but was on the ballot for state Senate. Stop me if I'm confusing anybody. And so then from there, Brian Cook basically was, he was on the ballot too.
Right.
But Joan beat
him. Joan won at all.
She won both. Yeah, she won on both ballots for Senate. And so she decided to step away. And then the Democratic caucus said, we're going to pick not the guy who's on the ballot, Paul Gannon.
Right, right.
And then I know there wasn't a little bit of a scuttlebutt about who's going to be the chair of the Hingham Select. And there was kind of a little bit of a scuttlebutt after that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't involve myself in that.
But being a news anchor, I had to. I remember doing the stories. Kind of a whole thing about not being included in being picked. He wanted to be chair or something like that. But let's not get off on a tangent about somebody else.
Right,
So it's going to be interesting. So are you looking forward to? So is this technically the first race that you're looking? That you're going to get into, and you're going to get elected.
No, and that's a little bit outside of my comfort zone. I think, as I mentioned to you on the phone before, this is a whole new deal for me.
Sure.
I'm used to being like a little worker bee behind the scenes, and putting myself out there is not a comfortable thing for sure. But I got some great help in Hingham, and so far have been encouraged by folks. So. You know, one of the things, I did some canvassing actually for Joe Moschino, and I really, really enjoyed going door to door and meeting taxpayers, and I'm looking forward to doing that again this time.
So it's a matter, so you're looking forward to doing, I mean, what's your method? Are you going to do door to door? Are you going to be having people, are you going to do stuff on social media? I mean, do you have a plan of attack?
I do have a plan of attack, yep. And I have a website, I have a Facebook page. I will admit to this, I have a Twitter account, but I have never tweeted in my life. So I'm not so sure I am going to tweet, but we'll see.
Listen, it helped. They say it helped Donald Trump.
Yeah. I know. I don't know if I can do it, but I'll try. You know, in addition to that, I've got a bunch of folks who have already offered to host coffees or cocktail receptions. You know what? You know this better than I do, covering local government for all this time. It's about the personal touch. And
One-on-one and interaction.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Or in small groups to hear what people's concerns are, to hear what their hopes are, and to sort of take that in and be able to address that. You know, either in those discussions or hopefully, you know, if I'm lucky enough to get elected on the Board of Selectmen.
Peter, do you have a question?
Yeah, what are some of the things that are coming up that Hingham has to look out to in the next four or five years? I know you have a lot of economic development going on at the waterfront, and how is that going to affect the selectmen issues and stuff like that?
Yep. So I think there are a bunch of stuff. One, you know, you may have covered it earlier in a radio broadcast, but there have been some 40B projects going on in Hingham. Right now, there's a big 40B project going through the permitting process at the end of Beale Street. That project will actually give Hingham, in fact, 10% affordable housing.
Yep.
So it will put us in a safe harbor under 40B. Which what that means to me is it allows the town then to be thoughtful about its affordable housing growth so that density doesn't overtake our neighborhoods.
Yeah, because down on that three A end of it and into the harbor when you come out and around, there's a lot of development going on now and around that area.
Yep.
So the infrastructure needs to be upgraded, especially when you're getting down into the hills and, you know, up into the higher end. It's hard to get around those corners, especially with the restaurants and stuff in the waterfront.
No, absolutely. Traffic is an issue. And,
Parking.
Parking and, you know, road construction. I will say that the past Board of Selectmen, really in response to the weather a couple years ago, set aside additional road funds so that the town can continue to expand road improvement projects. But you're right. You know, growth up and down the South Shore has been an issue, and I think it's something that the Board of Selectmen of any of our towns really need to be mindful of.
Now, do you see a parking garage or something going in down into that square?
You know, I've heard people talk about that. Okay. I can't even picture it. But, you know, at some point, when you have that level of density, you got to put the car somewhere.
Yeah.
And we need to protect that downtown. We've got vibrant merchants down there. We've got folks who live down there.
Right.
So we've got to find a way to live and do business and enjoy that downtown.
Well, just the amazing restaurants that are in that area,
absolutely,
too. It's like, it's crazy.
Leave it up to Peter. Peter, being a businessman himself, thinking business, which is good.
Yeah. Yep. No,
which is why he's a vital part of this program, because he brings that sense. What are some of the other issues? I mean, is it mostly financial? Are there any little things that you'd like to personally take on as pet projects that you feel that need to be looked after, for the, whether it's for the community, whether it's a park, whether it's more, you know, Chapter 70 funding, Chapter 90 money, and how that goes to paving roads or doing special construction projects?
So it's funny you say pet projects. I think one of the things that you've probably been reading about that's really been a hot issue for Hingham is just the use of Bear Cove Park and leash or unleashed dogs.
Oh, that's a big deal.
I know. And
I was going to take my dog over there and just set her free, but then I heard that you can't do that.
Well, so I don't know whether you heard. So you know, this issue for me has been a tough one. I think really a tough one for the Board of Selectmen as well. You know, as a little kid, I had a dog. We lived in a town that imposed a leash law, and it was right around the time that movie Born Free came out. And so, you know, Andy Williams song, sure, The Lions. So I ended up taking my dog, who had to be on a leash, and untying her and running away because I felt like she should be free.
Sure.
But in kind of considering your heart in those kinds of issues, you also have to consider all the practicalities. And I think the Board of Selectmen, we're trying to balance all those things and coming to a decision. But now the Board of Selectmen, after listening to folks who have expressed continued concern over that decision, have inserted an article into the warrant. And my understanding is it would allow odd even use of the park, leashed, unleashed. So to me, it's kind of a perfect story about how local government should work for you, right?
See, I was already thinking of the bumper stickers. Karen Johnson, elect me a selectman, I'll set your dog free.
Shoot, Kevin. I should have gone with that.
Good one.
Yeah.
So would you walk the dog on odd and even days?
Yeah, so I think, you know, there's a balance of use, right?
Yeah,
because look, the selectman heard from other folks that said, I've gotten knocked down by dogs, I'm afraid of dogs, I've been injured by a dog. So those folks deserve an opportunity to use the park too.
Well, it's like with anything else, is people that shouldn't have animals and shouldn't have kids.
Right.
You know, it's like, you know, they don't,
right,
you know, they have
right,
a dog and they think that's what they
right,
do, but,
right,
but
no, absolutely. And that's actually a really great point.
Yeah.
Is that I think we all need to step up and take responsibility
right,
of our pets, whether right, they're on a leash or off the leash. You know, the other issue with Bear Cove Park is it, and I hope I get this correct, it's an area of critical environmental concern.
Right.
So when the dogs are running free, or if you're not picking up after your dog, that does damage to the park too.
Right.
So, you know, my hope is that if town meeting passes this warrant article and gives them a sense that, gives the Board of Selectmen a sense that that's the way the town wants to use that asset, right, that people respect the odd even, and also, you know, sort of bring a new mindset of pet responsibility
right,
in using the park.
And that's the whole thing, is the pet responsibility, and that's the hard part.
Anything we haven't asked you in regards to your candidacy for being hopefully the next selectman in the town of Hingham? Anything that's important that you want to at least get out while you have a few minutes here on 95.9 WATD. You are on Monday Night Talk, you know.
I am so excited to be on Monday Night Talk. No, I think actually we've really covered the gamut. I just have to say that, you know, I'm proud of the work that I've done. I'm proud of promoting fiscal responsibility. I'm proud of promoting appropriate service levels in town. And it's that kind of independent financial voice and kind of attention to detail that I hope to bring to the seat.
Now, have you had a chance to prep yourself? Now, I don't know if they're going to do this in town or if it's something that, you know, a local media outlet's going to do, but are you ready to do like a political forum or do a debate? Are you ready? Have you readied yourself for that?
You know what? I'm just sort of breaking out of the gates, so I will be ready for right, sure.
Put that on your bucket list.
Yeah, definitely on my bucket list.
And get into an argument with one of your friends and just kind of, you know, try to do your best to, you know, position yourself to where it's all for the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't take advice from me, but
I'm going to say Kevin said.
Yeah,
Kevin
exactly. Said, yeah.
That radio
yeah.
guy.
Yeah.
I want to thank you so much for coming in and joining us and being a part of Monday Night Talk, and hopefully we'll hear more from you before April 29th, because that's when the big
yep.
election is in the town
yeah,
of to Hingham.
Back. Love to come back.
And if folks don't vote on the 29th, they can pull absentee ballots.
Yep, ahead of time. Or there's also advanced voting at Town Hall, and I'll have all that info available on my website. And who knows, maybe I'll tweet it.
that would be phenomenal.
Would that be good?
That would all be right. phenomenal. We thank you very much for joining us. And one more time, website or Facebook, how can folks get in touch with you? Is that still in the works, or do
yep,
you have it?
Nope, it's all up and running. VoteKarenJohnson.com, and the Facebook page is Karen Johnson for Hingham Selectman.
All right, there she all is, right. Karen Johnson. She has been our guest, and I will tell you that our final guest. Now, before I let you walk out of here,
okay.
You going to be watching the Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
All right, well, this is your chance to give a score, because then you can listen back to the podcast, and when you say the Patriots going to win like 41-12, you can tell all my friends, oh my God, listen to the podcast.
I'm going to say, I don't know. You know, the Falcons are a pretty offensive-minded team,
yeah,
so...
bunch of pansies, but yeah,
I don't know. Matt Ryan's an old BC guy, right?
You got to hold yeah, that. Really? Yeah.
I'm going to say...
You know, it's funny you say that, because one of the guys who's coming in is a BC guy.
Oh, good luck with that.
So there's going to be... I know there's going to be some favoritism, because, you know, Matty Ryan actually yeah. led Boston College to probably one of their best rankings during yes. his time at the college.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It was
at
fun,
the Heights.
Fun to watch at the Heights. Absolutely. Ooh. I'll say... let's see. You're probably right. Like 41-27.
Nice. Look at you.
Good
all
job.
Right. Go Pats.
Go Pats. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you
very much.